I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Happy Friday to you. Welcome to The Memo. I'm Derek, joined by Brad and Chris Kiefer.
Only Chris has a last name.
Yeah. We're the only one that matters.
Well, people know us, Derek. They don't need to.
I don't think
they don't need our last. They know our last name already.
Yeah, it's just y'all are famous.
No,
I need it because I started having to get used to that. No, as a kid, because I don't run into it as much now. But in school, I was never the only Chris in my class. There were always two or three, and plus everyone started liking to call me Kiefer instead. So they came a point like we're in high school where I didn't even respond to Chris anymore because if they said Chris, I knew they weren't talking to me.
You have one of those names that the first name and the last name go together. You're pretty much a double name. You're Chris Kiefer.
Yeah. I call you Kiefer when I'm talking about you to other people. And actually, growing up, I got called by certain people.
You should hear what else they call me.
I hear more than he knows.
Certain people would just call me Locke. I mean, not everybody. It was just so every now and then it's a particular person. That's all. Every time they saw me, that's what they'd call me. It's kind of, it's fine. But not just coaches either. I mean, like just people my age.
Yeah, it was interesting because for a while, wherever I was, Kiefer would catch on. Like in high school, that's what everyone called me. And then college, it was a whole different group of people, but they all started calling me that. And then when I was covering sports, it was the same thing, different people. But yeah.
When someone hears someone else say that, okay, that's their last name. If you try that with Derek, hey, Russell, they just think that's his first name if they don't know you. Mm. I don't know, observation.
I don't know. I just feel anyway. I feel like yours is a name that should be said completely.
Got it.
Or at least 2/3 of it.
I'll answer. My grandpa used to say, call me whatever you want, just don't call me late for dinner. So I'll go with that.
I believe that's nice. Swedish. Or
yeah, I think it was.
Late for dinner?
It was really long.
Yeah. Why would anybody... Shut up, granddad. Take your medicine. Why would anybody call you that?
Hi, late for dinner. I'm Brad. My daughter likes to make those dad jokes. My third oldest? Yeah. Sorry, I have trouble remembering.
You never call them by their names. Like, I always have to, like, do the conversion, like, your third oldest, so that's Trinity.
Yeah.
Instead of you just saying, Trinity always says this.
You'd think it'd be easy because Trinity, three, the third, you'd think that'd be the easy one to remember. But, yeah, sometimes my wife will just shout out a number instead of the name. Number two and number four, come on with me. Yeah, that's the system she uses.
At least you didn't name them all with the same first letter. And then you have like,
I mean,
if you
want to do that, that's fine. Okay. It's cute, I guess, when they're young anyway. But yeah, we try not to like have any kind of pattern or whatever with when we named our kids. We just tried to name each one, just didn't have any like theme in mind. We just wanted them to have their own name and identity, so to speak. Which, again, you know, do what you want. I don't care. But it's just the way we approached it.
Yeah.
So
to each of them.
Indeed.
Cool.
Derek has no interest in this conversation.
No, I just
apparently.
Have nothing to add.
No, oh, okay. You're over there typing, not even paying attention. Probably
trying to get some work done. You know how it goes.
This is work. Podcasting is hard work.
It's called multitasking.
It's not easy.
It's
for called, us to be this good at what we do.
Again, with the cockiness that
I'm
bears
throwing
no
you into
credence
this as well.
I don't know. Don't mention.
We're all professionals here.
Just leave me out of your mouth altogether. I have no bearing there. Chris looks like he's slowly plotting to murder us in his head as he looks downward.
Fine.
On your weekend edition, you've got Jenna Parsons joining us to talk about her food section from this week. Did Jenna make a mistake in her story? We'll find out. Also, Scott Morris joining us to discuss the movie he saw this week, Logan, the 47th film in the X-Men franchise. And I'll tell you what you can expect for your weekend, all on today's memo.
Yay.
Jenna Parsons joining us on this Friday. How are you, Jenna?
I'm good, Derek. I'm glad to make you smile.
So good to see your smiling face any day of the week, but especially on a Friday. Your food section from this Wednesday. I'm going to be honest. I've lived here 31, almost 32 years. I've never heard of Pumpkin Center.
I had not either.
Okay, good.
A lot of times when I go in and there's a community.
Yeah.
And you've heard of, I mean, there's an evergreen community in
Auburn,
every county.
Yeah, you hear those.
But I had never heard of Pumpkin Center before.
No, but your Cook of the Week is from Pumpkin Center, which is near New Albany, correct? So it's that in Union
correct.
County?
That is correct. Yeah, is she's like kind of way out there.
Is it a road?
Well, you kind of had to twist and turn. You know, it's one of those turn at the cattle gap.
Chubby Checker a little bit.
Crossover. Okay. And Chubby Checker.
Twist.
Yes, there were lots of twists.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go beyond your time there for
no, it was one of those where I wish that I had, you know, thrown pieces of popcorn out the window so I could find my way back.
Hansel and Gretel yourself, I understand. Well, she works for the State Department, or did at one time.
Well, it's still, I think, from what I understand, the Child Support Services, which was underneath the state, I guess, DHS, jurisdiction when they went and privatized it recently. So she still does the same job. She just does it for a private company now that the state hired out.
Yeah, so third party. So you could say her passion is children, but her passion also is cooking.
Yes. And she said that because she travels an hour and a half every day, depending on which office she's going to in whichever county, that's when she plans her meals. She just has time to think in the car, and that's when she decides what she'll fix.
And she grew up in a time when her mother suggested it was a meat and three vegetable, always on your plate type scenario.
You know, my mother did a meat, a starch, a vegetable, and a bread.
Yeah.
This woman did a meat and three vegetables and a bread. And she still does it when she said she cooks, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 times a week, and Sundays puts it all out there.
Meat and three makes me feel like I'm going to Morrison's cafeteria, which I hated. you've frequented a Morrison's cafeteria.
I loved Morrison's.
We used to have one here.
It was here when we moved here.
Was it here when you? Okay, I wondered if it was
long. It was in the old Gloucester Creek Village.
Yeah,
it was terrible. I don't remember going there very often.
Yeah.
I just remember liking to go to the one when I was growing up because you know, nobody was telling you what to eat. You got to choose.
Oh, okay, I see.
You know,
that.
Through that little glass window.
I was still being told what I had to eat.
All manner of Jell-O salads.
Either there or at Quincy's.
Is there still a Quincy's here?
No. It was where Barnhill's was.
Ah.
And then I think Barnhill's bought out Quincy's, and that's how. Because the same thing happened in Starkville. It was a Quincy's. And
we've gone
far off track from Pumpkin Center, though. But, however.
Let's get back on center.
Yes, let's go back and talk about where she learned how to cook.
From her mother, from her grandmother and her great-grandmother. Who taught her.
Long legacy of cookers.
Yes, cakes and pies. She learned there and just watching. And her mother-in-law, she has lots of her mother-in-law's recipes that are in her mother-in-law's handwriting.
Learned from all of them.
No, she has her mother-in-law's recipes that were handwritten, which she treasures, as does her husband.
That's a big thing, isn't it? Handwritten recipes, more than anything else, I see, just being handed down and
held on to. And not many people know this, and I am generally not what... a pack rat. My husband would beg to differ, but I'm not.
How many cookbooks?
Yeah, I've heard about those.
All right. We're not talking about cookbooks, but I will tell
you
this.
They stack neatly on a shelf. That's not packing stuff away.
I've been at the Journal. This is my 25th year, and I started as the news editor, well, assistant news editor, but I've been doing food, home, and garden since February of 2002. So I've been doing Cooks of the Week since February 2002, and from the very first one, when I'm sitting there and I have her recipes in my hand and I've typed them in and I've proofed them, I couldn't throw them away. So I put them into a box beside my desk. And now I'm on my fourth box. I have every recipe, handwritten, typed, written in crayon, mimeographed, whatever, Xeroxed, emailed,
telegraph,
that every Cook of the Week has ever given me.
I didn't know that.
I do. I have them all. Wow. Some are on recipe cards. And
what are you going to do?
I don't know.
You
I just
write
can't.
A book or?
I can't get rid of them. It's, you know, somebody took the time to put those together for me, and I can't let them go.
For our younger listeners, what is a mimeograph? Mimeograph? Is that? I don't know.
Derek, do you know what a mimeograph is?
I made the joke. Telegraph is the next joke that I made.
Yes.
I'm just impressed that you have kept so many over the years.
I've kept them all.
You should have an auction and sell them.
You know, people buy stuff like that at antique shops.
Yeah.
I also wonder, of course, a lot of them have my handwriting over them where I would correct or ask them questions. I just wondered at one point if maybe the Lee County Library might want them for archival purposes.
The Jenna Parsons
but
exhibit.
No. The Cook of the Week exhibit.
The Jenna Parsons
But there would
room.
Be so many. I just,
She's
I don't
on
know.
The fourth floor next to her tomb.
There are only two floors.
I know. They've added on for you.
Oh. I get my own
there
floor.
There was no more room on the second floor.
All right.
I had to move upward. Your column, I always like stories that you talk about from the Vicksburg paper. I don't know why. I just like old newspaper stories, I guess. But it was a morning paper that you guys would put out.
Right. It was a morning, and then it was an afternoon paper. Did I say it was a morning paper?
I think in your column you said it was a morning.
Oh, it was an afternoon paper.
Oh, no. I may be wrong.
Well, we can get that corrected online.
Yes,
Brad.
I can.
It was an afternoon paper, except on Sundays. On Sundays, it was a morning paper. No, but so we would get done with the with our part of it by 3 or 3:30 in the afternoon, and then we would be able to go out and socialize.
Our newspaper was a morning edition.
Well, I misspoke.
Sorry.
I'm surprised that Leslie Chris didn't catch that when she read it. She also worked at that newspaper.
Well, it happens.
It does happen.
It happens. I mean, look who we put in charge of some things.
What?
But I do enjoy these stories that you often spin around and tell me from time to time about the Vicksburg paper. But you guys used to frequent an establishment.
We did.
On afternoons that was, what would you best describe? Would you call it a restaurant? Would you call it a cafe? Would you call it a...
It was a restaurant.
Haberdashery?
It was a restaurant bar. It was sort of, I would say, probably the closest thing we have in Tupelo to it might be something like Harvey's, where the bar and the restaurant were sort of separate. Mm. But we would start at the bar, and then we would sometimes in the evenings linger a bit long and move to a table.
Before the children.
Yes.
Yes.
Gosh, most of us were single at the time.
There you go. This is how we spent.
We didn't have time for no stinking
but
children.
Get your stinking paws off me. Your favorite
you
item.
Dirty ape.
Yeah, dirty ape. Thank you. Your favorite item at said haberdashery
was the spinach salad.
Salad.
It was fabulous, and I ordered it just about every time I went, and I tried to replicate it several times, but it was the dressing that was different because the spinach salad is spinach and bacon and onions. Some people do mushrooms, but it was the dressing that made it so different. And I
take it they made it themselves.
They did make it themselves, but my mother-in-law made a spinach salad for us last weekend, and just one bite, and it was like I was back in the New Orleans cafe.
Oh, okay. Spot on.
It was. The only thing I think different is that in the recipe that is her recipe that I wrote, she uses 3 tablespoons of oil. And I believe at the New Orleans Cafe, they may have used a little bit of the bacon grease for the fat in the dressing because I remember the dressing.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, having a little bacony flavor. But the dressing that she made was absolutely fabulous. It's got vinegar and sugar, so it's that sweet and sour. It's got the oil, so it's savory, but I think the key was it has a couple of teaspoons of tomato paste, and I know that sounds odd, but I think that's what gives it the oomph, makes it
stick
different.
With that for my
I think that's
Sloppy
Joe's. The secret ingredient.
I don't know how that ends up in there. that stays with my Sloppy Joe's only.
We almost had Sloppy Joe's last night.
See, you're supposed to... Okay, almost.
But we didn't.
You're
we
supposed
didn't.
To had, call me. That was the deal we made the next time.
We had turkey burgers.
Okay, well, then I'm glad you didn't call me.
I'll eat a turkey burger.
There's no such thing as a turkey burger.
I'll eat a veggie burger. They're not bad.
We tried one of those frozen ones, I think, like a Boca burger.
Yeah, that's what we eat.
But this was 10 years ago. Yeah. We couldn't do it.
They're
but
okay.
I think they're better today than they used to be.
They're pretty good. And for the record, I like spinach.
Oh.
Just wanted to put that out there.
Oh, Brad.
Because we know how few things I like, especially if they're green. But
Derek, do you eat spinach?
I'm picky about my spinach, but I do eat spinach.
Chris, do you eat spinach? Yeah. All right. Spinach salads all around.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I grew up on Popeye. I did. I grew up on... Look, I've sat in front of a television for the first... 8 years of my life. So if somebody did it on TV, I did it.
Well, maybe sometimes in the summer we have a potluck here. If we have a potluck this summer, I will make a large spinach salad.
There you go. All right. Jenna, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Hey, be sure to check out the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself, Blake Morgan, and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And for you Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, be sure to check out Double Coverage. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release new episodes each Thursday in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. So listen to that for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
You can also wake up and get ready for your day each weekday morning with the Daily Journal's News Break. That's a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi, including Brad Locke, in a 5-minute video.
And shows are posted on Mondays.
Shows are, please don't interrupt me. Shows are posted each Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices.
Well, it's movie review time with M. Scott Morris joining us here on The Memo. Scott, how are you doing, man?
Well, I can't go any further without letting the listening audience know that Derek and Brad only appear to get along. When they're not recording and all kinds of stuff that is recorded is left out, these people hate each other.
There are sometimes fisticuffs.
That's going to get cut out, too. That's not very smart at all.
I'm just saying it's a very painful thing to sit here sometimes, the tension in the room. But let's get to the movie. Logan. Very violent, much like yours and Derek's relationship.
The latest installment of the X-Men franchise, yeah, which I've seen all of. My family, we love the whole series. I don't know if my kids should be allowed to watch this one yet, though.
Depends on how comfortable you are with a full frontal female nudity and the F word.
Yeah, it's because you see a lot of these superhero movies, they tend to be right in that PG-13 range where they're just squeaky clean enough just to be like, okay, the kids can go see this, and the violence isn't usually like extremely bloody, and of course you usually don't have the nudity either.
You know what? You said you loved all the X-Men movies.
Well, I didn't say I loved them all. I've seen them all.
Well,
love them to like varying
the
degrees.
The last X-Men movie that came out, Apocalypse, last year, I hated that.
Which one was that?
That's the one that sucks so bad.
Well, was that's that the one with
that's the third in the trilogy of the prequels.
Well, I kind of get mixed up on the order.
It took place in the 80s.
But it was the most recent until this one, which takes place in the 2020s.
Right.
Or 30s.
Yeah.
That one had worldwide implications. I mean, they were shaking buildings all over. People were dying all over. And I hated it. This is a much more intimate film. It's really about three characters when you get right down to it. It's about Logan. It's about Professor X, Charles Xavier.
Yeah.
And it's about this girl named Laura that they encounter. Logan thinks he's going to just live out his days in Mexico looking after Charles, and just that's going to be it in obscurity.
Yeah.
But this girl tracks them down, and she needs a hero. Logan doesn't want to be a hero, but he becomes a hero. And pretty soon, the three of them are on the run while guys are in black uniforms with heavy machinery are chasing them across America. And the girl's Mexican, by the way, so I don't know what that means to the story, but there's definitely kind of an immigration undertone to the whole thing.
Sure.
And very violent, hyper-violent, from the very beginning. You're going to see a lot of blood. You're going to see a lot of killing going on.
Sure.
But at the same time, some very sweet moments, unexpectedly sweet moments. There's a time when Charles, Logan, and Laura are all at someone's table, and they're just eating dinner and talking, and like they're all almost like an actual family. And it's a very sweet moment that kind of breaks up all the violence, and it stands out in relief as being just this little moment in time for these characters they don't get to experience other times.
So I'm curious, where do mutants stand in just in regards to the world community and how other normal people see them at this stage?
Something horrible happened. We never explained what exactly that horrible thing was. Something horrible happened, and I don't want to go too far in it, but there aren't too many mutants left.
Okay.
And so exactly what happened, I think I have my theory, but my theory would involve telling you too much about the story.
Sure. Yeah, I hate spoilers, as most people do. So, you know, I kind of wonder, is this movie, I mean, you look at all these previous X-Men movies, and And certainly, I mean, they're capable of being killed, of being injured, and they age maybe, I don't know, more slowly than other people. But does this movie kind of point to their vulnerability, I would say?
Based
on what I've read.
Yeah, there's definitely that. There's definitely, I mean, in the beginning, when we see Logan early on, Adam Antium claws aren't working as well as they used to, perhaps, and he's older than he's been, so he's definitely aged since the last time you saw him on screen.
Right.
And he doesn't recover as quickly as he used to be. So things are slowing down for Logan. I can say that when you meet Charles Xavier, he is a broken man in ways that don't involve the wheelchair. I mean, right. Whatever happened really messed him up.
Wow. And Logan doesn't have the Wolverine facial thing going on. He's just got a full beard.
That is true.
Which it looks good. I'm obviously all for full beards, but it's a different kind of look. Like you said, a little bit, actually knowing the character, it's a little bit startling when you first see him that way. At least it was for me in the first trailer I saw.
And then Xavier's supposed to be 90 in it, too.
Yeah. So time is taking its toll on everybody. Yeah.
We've talked Westerns before. You like Shane, don't you? We've talked about Shane.
Which one? Who was in that?
I like it. You like Shane.
I don't
Shane,
know if I've seen Shane.
Because Shane, come back, Shane!
I like
Shane.
It because I like the Tetons in
well,
the film there.
Well, this is Shane, but with Wolverine.
but obviously so. I mean, they at one point they show a screenshot. I mean, they show some of Shane in the movie.
Huh. Yeah.
So, I mean, they're clearly borrowing from that. They're also borrowing from pop culture another way in that in this world where Logan and Professor X find themselves these days, there are X-Men comic books out there. And so those show up as well, and it annoys the crud out of Logan, as you would think, because it's like things happen, they make all this stuff up, it's all lies! F-word, lies!
Yeah.
Alternative it's also, facts.
It's also Unforgiven. It's Unforgiven meets Shane.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah, I've seen Unforgiven. Well, you gave it an A, which, you know, I don't know how you feel generally about superhero movies. I mean, there's a lot of good ones out there, but people don't always maybe see those as the highest form of cinematic art. And
you know, I made peace with this kind of stuff a long time ago. I mean, I don't vote for you. I vote for me. And so this right. movie for me was a good movie, and I would like to watch it again.
Yeah.
And I was thoroughly entertained by it. I thought it was well made, put together very well.
Yeah.
There are different types of movies that I enjoy as well. Like Moonlight, I gave my only A+ recently, which is totally different from this movie.
Sure.
But at the same time, I would say there's probably more about this movie that connects to Moonlight in some ways than actually connects to that X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah,
the last X-Men movie.
Yeah,
I mean, just the intimate time, the time with the characters and what they're going through, and you really get, you know, Logan doesn't talk that much, but you kind of see this what's going on in his life and his interior world by the way he plays this out.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's a wonderful portrait.
Yeah,
but if you don't like superhero films, you might not like it.
Well, I like them. Superhero film, so I can't wait to go see this one. I want to see it in the theaters, too, which I don't usually have to wait for stuff to come out on DVD and whatnot, but I'm going to try to get to the theater. It is playing at the Malco's in Tupelo, Oxford, Corinth, and Columbus, and also the Cinemark here in Tupelo, and then Hollywood Premiere Cinemas in Starkville, and Movie Reel 4 in New Albany, so it should be pretty easy for you to catch.
Yeah, you'd have a hard time not seeing it, sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Scott, appreciate your time. Again, you can find this review in the scene section Thursday and also at djournal.com. Thank you.
Well, you betcha.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capital V webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson during this current legislative session. You can watch live on Monday afternoons around 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. And now we go back to Derek to tell us what's happening.
Sunday.
On the entertainment scene.
Also yes. Friday and Saturday, and not so much Sunday.
Monster trucks.
Monster trucks return to the Daily Journal, right through the cubicles.
Out into the
You'll
parking lot.
You'll never even know it because advertising's so loud.
Super value seats are just $10.
Earplugs are $14.
Yeah, Monster Jam's back. Not at the Daily Journal, at the Bancorp South Arena, starting today at 7 p.m. Also tomorrow at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. That's Saturday, if you're listening at a later date. And, you'll want to check it out. Tickets range from $18 to $38. Gravedigger is back.
Gravedigger.
I don't know if Scooby-Doo's here this time. Scooby-Doo was here last time. Have you seen the Scooby-Doo truck?
I don't know. Maybe because I took my son to, they had something like this out at the Agri Center a few years ago. I took my son to. It's been a while. I don't know if they had, I don't remember if they had like the Gravediggers and those. They may have had that one out there. But
let me see.
It was a fun time.
I don't know why you would make a Scooby-Doo.
Why wouldn't you?
I'd make one that looked like the Flintstone Mobile or something. That'd be cool. I'd do something. Or if you're going to do that, make it look like the Mystery Machine.
Or instead of Scooby-Doo, Marmaduke.
Why would you do Marmaduke?
I don't know.
That was a terrible newspaper joke. Only people who read the newspapers in the 80s will get this one. Anyway, so yeah, Monster Jam at the Bancorp South Arena. Almost a Daily Journal again. People are going to be coming in here tomorrow. Where's the monster trucks?
I need to see me some trucks. Come on.
I came to see Gravedigger.
All monster truck fans talk like this.
We should next year. We should get them to come into the parking lot in here.
Dude, like, that would be sweet.
Roll over a few.
The press room.
Well, I was thinking about
roll over a few cars.
You know, well, like last summer we had two cars that like never moved. Right. One of them was like yours, wasn't it? Not yours, but it was the same make and model.
It was, yeah.
And I'm just thinking, well, we just run over those out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Have the kids come out.
They let me drive one.
No.
Why not?
Your hair.
What?
I don't know. There's a rule.
I don't think so.
Or something.
You think Clay would be all right if we like jumped over the press? Like,
I think that'd be fun.
Be sweet.
Bring him right in. Make some tire tracks.
There you go. Yeah, a lot of room back there.
I'm telling you, you'd never even hear him.
Nope.
Corporate accounts. This is Nina speaking.
Speaking of jams,
yeah. Monster Trucks line one.
Yeah, Monster Trucks on line one.
Winter Jam coming next week.
Yeah, gonna have a jam good time.
You can't say that. It's a Christian concert.
Lloyd let me one time. I don't think the concert appreciated it very much, but I put both stories into one and called it a jam good time.
That's funny.
But then also, that was the day it snowed really bad, and it's the first time I ever got to run in and yell, "Stop the presses!" because they canceled the concert.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yes. We didn't get to stop the presses.
The headliner is going to be Crowder. Did he just drop his first name? Jason.
Just Crowder.
Just Crowder.
No, David.
David. Why did I say Jason? I knew it was David.
Who's Jason Crowder? There is a Jason Crowder.
He's a broadcast. He does MEC broadcast. Oh. That's where I came from.
Well, this is not him.
This is David Crowder, but he just goes by Crowder.
He's just Crowder.
Christian Folktronica. That's not even real.
Folktronica.
That's made up.
That's Daft Punk meets Mumford & Sons.
Okay.
I guess I don't know. That works for me. I don't know. He's got a good sound. If you like if you like Christian music. Dude is funny, though. Like, hilariously funny. Like, first word out of his mouth, I was like, "You're headlining." He was like, "I don't need to let hillbillies be headlining," these kind of things. I mean, he's straight up funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I enjoyed the story.
Had a good time talking to him.
Well, and he actually looks like a hillbilly, let's be honest. The beard is pretty sweet.
Well, he kept trying to describe the thing. I was asking him what he liked better, if he liked being out on tour himself, and he had the full range of versus a 30-minute set. And he's like, I don't know how to describe these things. I said, I've been to a few of them in the past, and they always remind me of those big variety shows that NBC had the 70s and 80s. And he dropped the phone laughing. He said, that is the funniest thing I've ever heard. He said, I get to be part of a traveling variety show. It's like hee-haw. So he enjoyed the allusion to that. So Monster Jam is...
Winter Jam?
See, now I'm doing it. See?
They should do them together.
They're always right next to each other, and it always messes me up, too.
You could have the trucks come out between acts.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting.
Well, they could jump the acts.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Have stunts.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome.
It would be hard because continually every year, Winter Jam sells out.
Right.
Every year. In years past, and I can remember in high school, because Winter Jam has been doing this for 20 so years now.
Yeah.
In years past, they would have it at the arena here in Tupelo, back when it was the Tupelo Coliseum, and then the Bancorp South Center, before it was the Bancorp South Arena, they would turn away thousands at the door. One of my most vivid memories is having to go one night to cover it, and the line was to Hardee's.
Jeez. I'm not kidding, to try to get in the door, because you can't buy advance tickets. It's $10 at the right. door. So it's first come, first serve.
Right.
So that when they had it on Saturday and Sunday nights, they'd sell out. Well, they moved it to Thursdays some years ago to try and just help crowd control a little bit. Yeah. Because they hated to, you hate to turn people away
sure.
for something like that when you only fit 9,500 people odd in the door. They moved it to Thursdays, but this year's on spring break, so
oh
maybe right back where we were. But yeah, it's a huge deal. It's Christian music's largest tour.
Yeah, he said it was kind of a bad idea, but they run it so well.
Yeah. Well, like, bad idea for him to headline was all he meant. He didn't think the show was a bad idea. He just thinks him being the poster child for it is.
I gotcha.
He was kidding. But
oh, sure.
Yeah. Self-depreciating.
Yeah.
It's deprecating.
That's my favorite kind of humor.
Or that.
I was impressed that he was up to speed on his Tupelo musical heritage knowledge.
He said that he joked this was his third and a half time with Winter Jam, and I said half, and he said, well, it's really third and quarter. Third and a half sounds better. But he joined at the last. Somebody dropped out of a tour one time, and he came in on the second half leg, the West Coast leg of it. But so he's been to Tupelo before, but he was like. Say hey to Diplo for me. And I was like, well, he's not really, he doesn't live here anymore. And he was like, yeah, but y'all got Diplo, you got Elvis, he's like, there's a lot of music in that area.
Ray Srimmer?
Yeah.
He mentioned it all.
So
cool.
That's what's going on this weekend and next week in Tupelo.
The play you talked about last week is this week too, right?
Noise is off. That's
that started last night. Yeah, that's right. The Lyric, obviously. So you'll want to get your tickets for that. You've still got three more chances to see it tonight. And Saturday afternoon matinee, and then Saturday evening at the Lyric Theater. Tickets are $18, and it will be the hardest you've probably laughed in at least a few weeks.
I really want to go see it.
So,
okay,
you've said that several times today. Will you about several different things? I mean,
well, I don't know because I've got family coming in Saturday, so I'll have to try to do it.
Where
tonight.
Do you put them up?
Our house.
Where?
The spare room upstairs. They've only got four kids. It'll be fine.
Well, that by my math, that's 22.
We'll move some of our kids around.
What do you, drain the pool? Go sleep in the pool, kids.
Move some of our kids around, and we'll make it work.
Good grief. All right. Well, good luck with that. In the meantime, we'll be back on Wednesday with a brand new episode of The Memo, when you might hear Chris say,
What?
You can also find us online at memo.djournal.com. That's where new episodes are available. You may be listening through different podcast catchers, like Stitcher, Satchel, or iTunes. And if you're listening through iTunes, we'd really appreciate you to leave a rating and review for us.
5 stars.
That way more people can find us. Yes, 5 stars. If you don't like the show, just email us. If you do like the show, leave a rating and review. That's how that works.
Yeah.
So in the stories we discussed today, you can find in your daily journal or online at
djournal.com. There it is.
And latest stories, we tweet those out at djournal now.
And while you wait for our next episode, go back and listen to our episode from this past Wednesday. Wednesday, of course, is our News Year show. Today's, of course, is more of our entertainment focus. But what do we talk about on Wednesday this week?
We talked with Caleb and William about local elections.
Broke down the elections. Milam Girls Leadership Academy.
Talked about that.
Derek talked about his story on THS Wave Compliment, the Twitter account. That is uplifting for people at Tupelo High School. And then Dennis talked about craft beer legislation.
Craft beer is good.
So check that out, too.
Cool. That's it. We're done?
That's it.
Sweet. Well, everybody have a great weekend. We'll see y'all next Wednesday.